You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to the latest edition of Fire Up MUA. My name's David Ball. I'm from the Victorian branch of the Maritime Union of Australia. I'm here with my usual co-hosts, the team, Rob and Aaron. How are you, boys?
Good, thanks, Dave. How are you?
I'm Robin now, am I? Who are you?
Oh, well, mate, your hair's getting long enough to support that.
Your son looked like fried tuck. I wouldn't start if I was you.
What?
No mirrors at my joint.
Some grease on him if there is.
You see, we haven't missed each other at all. It's been an exceptionally busy couple of weeks here in Melbourne and Victoria, and particularly in our branch, and there's been some news from around the country, and we want to straight away go out and mention our one of our lost brothers, MUA member David Ingram. Unfortunately, David went missing off a Maersk vessel up northwestern Australia around last Friday. There's been extensive searches for David, but I think they've been called off now. So we want to send out our thoughts to David's family and remind members that if they'd like to donate to David's cause, they can do so by going through BSB number 882000 and account number 25133.
And that's the account name is the Fremantle Fighting Fund or Special Purpose Fund, and you have to put David Ingram and your name in the reference for the donation, please.
And just also a reminder to anyone, feeling not too great, to Hunterlink is always there, and that number is 1-800-554-654.
Obviously, it's pretty tough times we're living in, and for all sorts of reasons, people might need that support. I'd just like to do a call out to two other members who are going through some health issues at the moment. Brett Coates. Brett is a seafarer off T2 line. Brett is a fantastic delegate around the branch, and he's going through a tough time. So if you know Brett, maybe reach out to him. And also like to mention Gary Rodwell, a member from Gippsland Lakes, who's also having health issues. Gary is also a great delegate down there at Lakes Entrance, and I know the workforce miss him a lot.
That's it.
So on to a bit of industrial news. Protected action is still taking place in a couple of different workforces. One that I particularly am responsible for is Switzer. We have protected action taking place all over the country. We have 16 days of protected action taking place around bans on working on Maersk vessels. Maersk is the owner of Switzer, and I'm sure everybody's seen the latest profit results of Maersk.
God, I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable.
14 billion or something, and then they had to upgrade it to 20 or something.
The greatest profit made by a Danish company in the history of Denmark. Unbelievable.
And this is not just them. I mean, they're making it, but this is all shipping lines around the world are making these sort of record profits, and it's about what they're doing with those profits that I've read an article just recently about.
Some Viking bounty, if ever I've seen any, $20 million profit.
Billion.
$20 billion profit.
And about whether they should be putting some of those funds towards cleaner vessels and all that sort of topic, cleaner energy fueled vessels. So that's an interesting.
They should put it towards paying some of their goddamn seafarers.
That's, well, a little bit of that wouldn't go astray either.
Unbelievable. And not to mention their towage industry. Switzer, the boys there are not asking for much. They just want a fair go in their industry. It's an EA negotiation. It's been going for over 2 years. So it's time it was settled. So we're hopefully going to do a bit of an attack on Maersk that they might have an influence over Spitzer and get an outcome. Oh.
Some other protected action going on in the port is Patrick's, and you might have read been a little bit of a little bit of press around it.
Little Johnny's not getting his bike.
Little Johnny's not getting his bike. Well, maybe he shouldn't have played up during the year.
Well, mate, we're still shipping plenty of coal out of Newcastle, so we'll drop some of that under his fucking tree.
You're right. look, we've been protective action's taken place all around the country. Frio, they took some last weekend. We had some in Melbourne last weekend. We lodged last week on Friday for protected action that will begin on this coming Monday. That'll be for Monday, Wednesday, Friday. There'll be a 4-hour stoppage from 3 a.m. and 8-hour stoppage from 11 a.m. on those 3 days that you can't work your off availables on the Tuesday, Thursday. And there'll be a ban on extensions and overtime from 7 a.m. on the Monday morning to 7 a.m. on the Saturday morning for the 4 weeks. And this is just to try and get this company to actually move and negotiate with us. They still just refuse. They put out their propaganda. You know,
chief exaggeration officer.
The CEO, actually, Jamie Newland, I like that one. Jovicic putting out our arm. You know, we've ruined Christmas and all that sort of stuff. Here's an idea. They've made record profits as well and have recorded that publicly, and still they won't come back and negotiate a proper and fair outcome where they lambast us in the media again. But we just want them to come to the table and actually meet with us and to continue some talks, not just on a national level, but on a local level in the Part B. I wrote to the manager there, and because we've got a big issue with the rail, the new rail project that's going to go along Footscray Road there, be an offshoot into Patrick's, and it'll be an offshoot into DP World. I noticed the builder of that was announced during the week. But we just want them, because that's going to come online in 2023. It's an important part of our work, because they want to, they'll start putting more and more containers through the rail, and that'll reduce the capacity on the road, which, you know, I think we're all in favour of that, reducing trucks on the road. But as long as those containers that come in and out of the terminal, that work is done by us, which is traditionally our work, and we want to simply shore that up through the life of this agreement into the next agreement. Yet the company at a national level have said, we refuse to speak about it. We're not going to talk to you about it. Well, I've written to the manager here to say, can we have a conversation with the ERC here in Melbourne around, and I'm sure we can get an outcome to land on that at a local level.
But as far as we're concerned, we haven't reached an agreement locally in Part B here, have we?
No, we haven't.
Because I noticed that the Chief Exaggeration Officer's comment said that Melbourne and Brisbane, I think, they reckon have landed Part B's, but as far as we're concerned, we haven't, right?
No, that's right, we haven't, because the rail is a big thing. It's a big ticket for us. We are not going to just roll over and not have, whether it be an MOU that sits along, a binding MOU that sits alongside the agreement to protect our work going into the future. I mean, why wouldn't you want to protect your own work and your own jobs going into the future? We're not asking for a lot. So anyhow, that's where we sit with the Patrick's protected action.
What about Q, mate? That dispute's still going on?
It's still going on over in the West. They're into their... I've lost track of the weeks now. It's up around the 9th 60, week.
Day 60 or something, I reckon.
Yeah, and that's... So there's been some movement there as of Friday of last week. You know, the company and the union had agreed on around 13 points, but there were still 9 points outstanding that they hadn't reached agreement yet on. And one of those is the allocation of the labour, and that is simply asking. These people are on about a 20 grand a year guarantee, the GWs at the bottom. And for them to be able to plan, if you're not getting a job with Cube tomorrow, they're saying, well, we'll let you know by 4 o'clock. Well, if you want to go and get work elsewhere, you're leaving a bit late. So all they're saying is, can we know by 2 o'clock, so we can actually plan our lives and keep some income coming into for our families. I mean, is that something...
That's, 20 grand is a bloody little...
That's all the GWE guarantee is. And so it's around that, 22 or something. So it's, you know, so that dispute is still going on. They're still on the grass. It's into about its 9th week.
There's been some great international solidarity coming for that.
It's been fantastic. And from other industries, including the building industry here in Victoria.
Yeah donated money, the construction.
Donated
$50,000 from Victoria. That was before that they had their building smashed up and might not have given it to us if they'd realised they needed it for glass work and that.
That's pretty disappointing to see.
It is, but the so that workforce is still as staunch as ever, and they will sit it out. But the international solidarity from, in particular, our friends in America, the ILWU.
I've seen Mums come through. So did
Mums came through.
I'm going to get the acronym wrong, but from our comrades in Jakarta as well. Yep. The wharf is at one of the sites in Jakarta.
Yeah, actually, MJ's.
PICTJ or something. I was always going to make a mistake there.
So a big call out of solidarity from the Victorian branch to our brothers and sisters in Fremantle.
Yes.
One day longer.
One day stronger.
So.
And before we go on to talk about the impact of COVID on our workplaces, I've been remiss of not introducing Annie.
I've been trying to get a break in there.
That's all right. It's all right. But I was just thinking, you know, the Fremantle Cube dispute, they wouldn't even talk to them about any of the points. And the fact that they actually let 13 points be negotiated seems remarkable.
Annie, I'd just like to make one more comment on that dispute over there. The support in America was they wouldn't unload the ship or something like along those lines. They refused to work it and they got taken to court. And the defence from one of the locals.
Best defence I've ever heard in my life.
Until the stench of scab has dissipated from that vessel, we won't be working it.
Wow.
And I just went, oh.
And they won that, did they?
Well, I don't know.
That's what they said. That's what they said verbatim in the court.
That was the legal defence.
So it would be great to say that in our court system and get away with it. But apparently there's laws and stuff, and I don't know.
So unfortunately, we still need to talk about COVID because it's still having a massive impact on all our lives. And now more than ever, as we've had some positive cases, Aaron, one of your workplaces has blown up.
Yeah. We had a fairly significant incident, I guess, with a positive case and then a subsequent positive case. And we've had two more since then as well. So it's been four positive cases in total down at VRCT, and it shut the terminal down for the better part of the end of last week, and it only just started ticking along again on Monday when we were able to safely get some of our guys back to work. And there's only we've got 60 members isolating at the moment.
Wow.
In 14 days isolation. So it's been a pretty chaotic week for us and the branch and the members down there particularly. And I just want to, 14 days isolation. I know I got isolated for 36 hours and was going stir crazy at home. So 14 days can't be easy for anyone. So just don't forget that Hunterlink is there for anybody going through that as well. So 1-800.
Just to add on to that, the HSRs and the ERC were able to meet on Zooms regularly with management and Aaron and myself and work through how to get back to work safely and what steps need to be taken to get them back to work safely. And so, you know.
And we did a soft start.
Thank you.
We went to make sure that the policies and the stuff we had discussed and negotiated with the company would actually work. So the procedures would work and there would be effective bubbles and no crossover. And
work bubbles and only working one shift instead of the two a day, one 12-hour instead of two, and soft start, just implement it slowly and build up and all that sort of stuff. But the big thank you to all the delegates and everyone that was involved there.
That was public holiday Friday and all day Saturday while the storm were losing. how do you feel about that, Robert? Melbourne was winning, but Melbourne Storm lost the NRL.
We're not talking about football.
No, that's right. How did you find out that the person was positive? How did that happen?
He notified. So the person notified the company, and then the company subsequently shut down.
So did the person get a surveillance test?
No, they were feeling unwell. They notified the company and the company notified DHHS and subsequently it all unfolded.
And do you know if that person was a contact? Do they know where they got it from?
We haven't. I haven't looked into that far. We
How did the company identify who he'd been in close contact with at the workplace?
Well, they obviously know who's on roster and who's on shift, but the level of exposure was determined by monitoring of CCTV footage.
Wow.
They went back through the CCTV footage to identify who'd been in whose space at what time for how long.
And was that the company or was it the health department? Did somebody from the government?
Both the company and the health department. So the company did it on behalf of the health department using their parameters in the initial stages to try and get a bit ahead of the game. And then the health department came through, reassessed it and corrected any issues that they may have made. But, well, I just want to probably should reiterate here that the positive case is, look, we're always going to get some on the waterfront. It was almost inevitable. The members who are or have or will test positive shouldn't, like, there should be no finger pointing or blame put to them. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. It's none of this is their fault. I was just wondering
what the process was because, you know, it's inevitable that people are going to get it. It's just that we never hear about how they actually track it down and how it's dealt with. So it's good to find out.
Yeah.
And they also always talk about deep cleaning. I always wonder, what does deep cleaning? Is it like deep massage?
No, they did go through and clean the place and deep clean the place, whatever deep that means.
The guys have told me the toilets have never been cleaner.
But the trouble with, you know, we don't want to see companies utilise this as an excuse to go and put cameras everywhere where a person works.
Yeah, no.
So we've got to be careful about how far companies can take this after this.
Yeah, but this isn't the only case around vaccination rates as well.
Shouldn't matter.
So, Dave, I think your site has had an incident as well.
It spread onto the Spirit of Tasmania over the weekend where we had a contractor who went on both vessels over 2 days was found to be COVID positive, which left both vessels, one vessel stuck in Tasmania, one vessel stuck in Victoria. Two of our members were sent into isolation in Tasmania, and I believe 10 other crew members who were from the other unions were put into isolation. Everybody on board both vessels were tested. Interestingly, the members in Tasmania, the Tasmanian Health Department came on to the vessel and tested our members. Not so in Victoria. Our members had to get transport to a surveillance testing station and get tested, which created problems because Tasmania haven't had COVID for months and months and months. So if you're a Tasmanian resident and you get off the vessel in Victoria, when you get back to Tasmania, you are forced into isolation. So the Tassie people don't want to get off the vessel in Victoria. Obviously, you can imagine the amount of concern when they were told they have to go to a surveillance testing station and get tested. But the company guaranteed that they wouldn't be forced into isolation once they got back to Tassie. As it turned out, so far nobody on board has tested positive, which is fantastic, and those vessels are now back on the run again. But you can see it's going to get into all our workplaces eventually.
Can you imagine deep cleaning one of those vessels?
Yeah, well, I know that the stewards on board do a fantastic job cleaning. They do a fantastic job looking after each other and the public, and big call out to all the members on CT Line.
I think this needs to be done. Every business around the port should be looking, thinking, right, what do I need to do to sort this out? Because I know that after VLCT blew up, I guess, for lack of better words, the HSRs at DP World basically went and said to the company, look what's happening, we need to go. And this also subsequent to the Sydney outbreak that they had as well. They said, look, we need to put in some places, in place some procedures and some processes and start and work towards having some bubbles and some degree of separation on site. And for the first time in a long time, the management down there have taken the HSR seriously and worked with our guys on site to try and put those procedures in place. So, if it could happen at DP World, but we've been basically at odds with management for 5 years, that's well, the 4 years that I've been coming down here, we're in loggerheads with them, and we can get them on site to moving around. All employers should be starting to work well with their HSRs to make sure we can avoid or limit the exposure that we do have when it does get into work sites.
It was proven through the VICT thing that it's cooperation between the HSRs and the union and the company. That's how you get, it's cooperation.
Yeah.
Is how you get to a
and to VLCT's,
consultation. Thank you.
To VLCT's credit.
Like, word for a hippie from Torquay.
Yeah.
And of course, we can't go out without mentioning the chaos that has been in Melbourne over the last, well, a week or 10 days at the raucous out the front of the CFMEU rooms.
Anybody that attacks a union office, no time for it.
I've never seen such disappointing behaviour.
Massively pro-protest, and I love a good protest. I'm at every other one that I can find.
Absolutely.
But that is, I cannot condone, and I'd look, we'd stand with the CFMEU brothers and sisters and the CFMEU and support them. But
and I just... There was also, you know, the red ensign flag was flown at the...
That's what I was... I looked it up. It's a naval flag, right?
Merchant Navy flag.
Merchant Navy.
Yeah. It was before Federation, it was the Australian flag, though, wasn't it?
It was. It actually has...
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
But, seafarers were very upset about that being flown at the shrine, and it certainly didn't represent the people that were flying it. And, just a big call-out to all our forebears who stood and fought for us in all the world wars, and, we show them our deepest respect.
Well done, though. What else is going on, mate?
Well,
got some negotiations going, albeit via Zoom.
Yeah.
How are you going with links, mate?
Still negotiating the links, National EA via Zoom, which has been really difficult. It's been going for about 6 months and will continue, so... no great news there for the Lynx members, but
any movement, David.
We will get an outcome.
Any sort of movement, any sort of light.
There is movement on some issues. Unfortunately, the bigger issues, which primarily around the economic clause, which talks about when the company's going well and when it's not going well. That's the most difficult clause to negotiate and the most controversial clause. And I think the company and the union couldn't be further apart. But we live in hope that we will be able to negotiate an outcome.
I thought you were...
They want the workers to bear the brunt of bad business decisions?
No, God forbid.
Hell supreme.
I thought Casper's question then was any light was in reference to Dave's choice of songs this week.
We'll get to that. Barwon's,
Barwon's avoiding me at the moment. I've tried to contact. I've sent multiple emails to the manager. I've tried to call him a couple of times, and he's avoiding me. So he's got the time is ticking now. It's Thursday now, and. I reckon if I haven't heard back from him by tomorrow, he'll be getting a notice of good faith bargaining. So, Dan, get onto it, buddy.
I wanted to briefly mention Inco Shipping. Although we haven't started negotiations yet, they will start. But those boys have been out on the bay in Melbourne doing a great job. It's a small workplace. It's only one vessel called the Allegiance. It supplies fuel to all the Bass Strait trade. I just want to call out to all the members on the Allegiance and thank them for the great job that they're doing.
Casper, you've got...
Yeah, Marat, we've been doing the Marat one via Zoom the last few meetings. We had to be via Zoom, so Marat is a Melbourne International roll-on, roll-off automated terminal.
Yeah.
So we've been doing a fair bit of work with them, trying to get a new agreement. It doesn't expire until the end of the year.
Bit of time there still.
Still a bit of time there before... Have a bit of fun with them, but that seems to be going ticking along. We're just ticking along there. I've got to say right now, there's not massive pulps apart, but we're pulled, but we're apart.
We're apart. Yeah.
We're apart.
We're always going to come to being apart when the cost claims hit, anyway. So
yeah, that's right.
We've been apart on some of the things that are non-cost. So. There's still a fair bit happening there, I guess.
We were talking about the importance of HSRs, and my favourite conference is coming up, the one run by Victorian Trades Hall. This is a conference that all our HSRs get to attend, and the boss has to pay them to go. I love that.
When is it done?
It is on the 28th of October. It'll be online this year, which makes it even easier for our members to attend. They can register online. The MUA will be sending out an email in the next couple of days to remind them and to provide them with the information they need to sign up to that event. all HSR should make sure they sign up. The theme for this year is HSR Super Sleuths, exercising your powers to uncover hidden hazards and risks. Obviously an important part of any workplace. I wonder COVID will get a mention in that as a hazard.
COVID.
And
just don't even name it properly anymore, Dave.
Before we move on to the song, if anyone's coming to visit the bank, Unity Bank downstairs, or happen to be in Island Street, if you happen to find a dummy, it's Dave's. He spat it at about 9:30 last Saturday night when Footscray started to get their bottoms spanked. There's a blue, white, and red dummy in Island Street. We haven't been able to locate it, but I'm sure it's there.
I missed out on the multi by one leg, and that was Footscray winning. And I just said to Dave, look, mate, you could have just won. And didn't I pop some abuse back?
And the song for this week was going to be the Bulldogs theme song, and it's not going to be the Melbourne theme song. We thought we'd give you something bright to go out with. We're heading into a bit of sunshine here in Victoria, and we all need something to cheer us up. So here comes the sun.
By the Beatles.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you, Annie, and sorry, Dave, just skipped you at the beginning.
Rude of you. Oh, no, that's okay.
Have a great day, members.
Thanks, yes. Members.
Bye.
See you in a
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.